your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Gathering Radio. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie.
And we are at the House of Balls tonight in Minneapolis, and we're doing a live studio audience show, and so we're really glad to have everybody here tonight. Thank you, everybody,
Yay!
For joining us.
Woo!
And this place is fascinating.
It is.
If you are in the Minneapolis area or Minnesota and happen to be able to catch an event, and we'll talk to the artist, Alan Christian, here in a little bit, but if you happen to be able to get to an event here, this place is really, really cool.
Oh, it is. It is. We've been here for about, an hour and a half, and we've just been had our mouths open and looking at everything, and then coming through the portal thing, that's the coolest thing.
That is the coolest thing.
So to go from room to room is this little round thing. I don't even know what you'd call it. It's like a cylinder
with an opening.
With a door that turns around. Is that how you would pronounce that,
Well,
Alan?
It was designed for a black room.
Oh, for a black room.
Right.
Oh, so the light doesn't go in and out.
Right.
Got it. Okay, so
it works sufficiently as a way to get to, you know, the other side. Be that light, be that dark.
Oh, yeah, to get to the other side.
Ooh. You have to get to the other side.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it was, and it's fun.
It is.
It's a little small. I was a little claustrophobic in there, but it was cool. I made it quickly. And
yep.
I think most people are afraid unless you're under 10.
Under 10?
Then they're like squirrels in there. They're running in and out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I suppose that would be fun for...
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's fun, and I think why not? So
it is very cool. It is awesome.
So the art here is fantastic, mm-hmm. and we'll talk with Alan in a little bit about just his inspirations. Where does he find his medium, his mm-hmm. Pieces, whatever, however we describe it, and... this place is great. So we're excited to be here tonight. And we have some catching up to do, though, because we weren't last week.
I know.
We weren't on the air.
It was like the first time we haven't been on since July 4th. That's a long time.
It is. Because we're
crazy.
Hardcore.
We are. We never take breaks.
No, we don't. And that's good, though, because we always have stuff going on.
I know.
So we were on air right before the week before Halloween.
Yeah, and we did the whole trying to levitate me on the... table thing.
Yeah. And that didn't really work.
No.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board was kind of a flop.
But I think if we'd have been there longer and tried longer, it would have worked.
I think so too. And we had a person in the audience that was watching.
Yes.
And if you guys didn't see, mm-hmm. we posted on Facebook that he was watching us do this, and he was sitting in the other room with a good view of just the whole room.
Yep.
And said that after we started, he saw a white figure go around and around the table mm-hmm. about 10 times.
Yep.
And then stand in one corner watching us and then shot through the room and out the door.
Yep.
And so someone was there.
Yep. And it was kind of like the lower half of my body. And that's where, you know, Tim was down there and Jeff was down there. And, you know, I could feel kind of something going on down there. The first time we did it, we could feel it behind the upper part of my back.
Yep.
Remember we talked about that?
Yep.
And then we stopped it for a little while and then we chatted and stuff. And then we did it again. And then it was the opposite. So it was kind of interesting.
I
think if we would have just had another 20 minutes or so, I might have been up on the ceiling. You know?
I know.
You just never know.
I think so. And next time maybe we do it and we start before the show so we kind of work our way into it.
So we get that energy working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. And so in a couple of weeks, we're going to do a seance there.
We are.
As well.
Yeah.
So everybody has to stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. That'll be not next week, but the week after. whatever that date is.
Yeah, maybe we can get things started before then. That's a good idea. So maybe we get there as early as like we got here. Yeah. Or maybe not quite that early, but just kind of give it a go first before the radio show starts.
Them in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. So stay tuned in 2 weeks because we'll 21st. Do a seance. The 21st. Thank you. We'll do a seance that's right before Thanksgiving. We'll see if we can call in some pilgrims or something.
Yes. That would be cool.
Yeah. See if there's anybody that wants to chat with us.
Yeah.
But since we were on last, it was Halloween and a flurry of activity.
Oh,
was
October
just
was crazy, wasn't it?
It was nuts. You know, I was looking at my calendar, and in a 2 week period, I had 10 events, and two of them were 4 day weekends.
I know. Well, your calendar was crazy last
10
month.
10 events in 2 weeks, and two of them took up 8 days of 14. Like, am I nuts?
Isn't that nuts?
I must be crazy.
I know.
Crazy about the paranormal.
Yeah.
Crazy about the paranormal. No, it was fun. I think, Tim, you were with me on 99% of it.
Yep.
And well, then you're just as nuts as I am.
Yep. Well, then you had that Halloween open house, which that was the first time I've went. I know for years you've invited me, and I just never make time. So this year I went, and it was incredible.
I gotta say, it was wild. Thank you.
Crazy stuff. You have the weirdest stuff in that studio for Halloween. It's just,
I need some of Alan's stuff there, though.
Yeah.
I was looking at a couple of your pieces with little doll heads on it, and they would be perfect.
Yeah.
Anything with doll heads.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And so I was eyeing up some of them. And actually, some of them that I saw here last time, I'm not seeing. So I think you probably sold them or something. But I'm looking at creepy dolls, and your stuff is creepy, and I love it. I mean, with the creepy little doll heads. So.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, thanks. I'm glad you came, and we had a good turnout.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was fun. But that was one of many events that, you know.
Yep.
And then throughout the week of Halloween, too, it's just nonstop calls of people needing help.
Oh, us, too.
Right?
Our phone has been just crazy.
Paranormal investigations, home clearings, you name it. People are calling, freaking out.
Yep.
I need help. I mean, I've had people, if I don't respond in a day in my email, they're coming through again. I haven't heard from you. What's going on?
Yeah.
What happens? You know, I need help. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, we have some clients like that too. So it's crazy right now, the times.
It is. You know, one of the things too that I found has been an interesting little pattern in some of the clearings that I've been doing is people that are I'll just say dabbling.
Not
so much in the paranormal, but just in like faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe growing up in a certain faith and maybe wanting to explore doing something and then just kind of drifting and not really finding anything that you can kind of bring in. And I'm not, you know, promoting any kind of religion or anything like that, but just having, you know, some kind of even mindfulness practice or something. And it seems like the ones that have been coming through lately and really have been getting hit hard are the ones that have just drifted away from any kind of spiritual practice, whatever it might be for them. And something, I keep telling them, I'm like, well, if you're not going to fill that space with something, something is going to. You know, someone is going to fill it.
Yep.
And so that's where, you know, every once in a while, it's not something that's good.
Right.
And
here
we have, you know, another guy that we were helping on Sunday, I think it was, Tim, right?
Yeah.
And we went over and he was getting just bullied by spirits that, you know, they start small and they start just saying your name. And then, you know, and not all of them do this, but in this case, this is what happened. And, you know, it would say his name and then pretty soon it would start to, you know, don't do this, do that. Why are you going there? Don't go there. Oh, you should do this. And then as he's doing things, starts to mimic him or mock him or tease him or, and it just, it gets hard to hear it all the time. And it just is nonstop. And he was hearing in his ears, not out in his head.
Geez.
It wasn't in his head. It was outside of his head.
Yeah. So it was like somebody whispering in his ears.
Yeah.
Saying, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we went over there on Sunday and helped
him. You took care of them, boy. Just said, get out of here.
Did the beat down.
That's right.
The paranormal smackdown.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
But some of it is not, I mean, I can't tell him to believe in X, Y, Z.
No.
Now it's up to him to fill
That's
the space.
Right. Because
otherwise it's going to keep coming back. We had a Oh, Kat said on the chat room, I have no spiritual faith. Perhaps I should drift off. Well, no. You know, it's... I don't want it to get into too much of a discussion around religion or anything, because it's not a religion. It's just something that you fill up the space with something outside of you, I guess.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what it is.
Yes.
I don't know that has to be anything concrete or any kind of dogma around it. But anyway, so it's been interesting.
There's a lot of weird stuff happening. You know, a lot of it is in northern Minnesota for us. I mean, we have a couple investigations that are both like 3 hours
away. Yeah, you've got a lot of stuff.
And like overnight, like we're going to go overnight. I'm not going to, because somebody has to stay home with the animals, and my daughter's going to be going on tour on Monday, or tomorrow, actually. So so I get to stay home, but that's okay. So the rest of the team will take care of it. So I'm anxious to see what happens.
But we're going up north.
We are going up in 2 weeks. And actually, this weekend we have a really fun thing going on. So we're having a photo shoot, the Squatchers. There's this gal who's a artsy photographer, and we met her down in Kentucky, and she wanted to come and do a photo shoot with us. So that's what we're doing on Sunday. And we're bringing all kinds of extra clothes, and because it's going to be outside, and it'll be wild. Never had to model for a photo shoot before.
I know, right? We're getting professional photos for our...
Yes.
And we're not supposed to dress up, which is funny. So it's a professional photo shoot of us looking like we just rolled out of bed.
Right, pretty much.
Or something, you know, like... Because we're not going to be dressing up to go look for Sasquatch out in the woods.
That's right.
You know,
it's supposed to be natural. And Kim said, well, I'm wearing makeup. I said, I'm wearing makeup too. I just think she said no, like, bright lipstick or, you know, whatever. You know, bright to distract from the rest of us. I said, I'm wearing makeup. You're not going to get me to get on there without makeup.
Also, leave my Fifth Avenue red...
That's right.
Chanel number 5 at home or whatever it is.
And no polka dots and crazy wild, you know...
It's a good thing I don't wear that stuff anyway.
I know none of us do, and that's what she said. Looking at your pictures, you all kind of already got it going on. So,
we're going to be going out in the woods and taking some pictures.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be really fun.
And then we get to do the real thing in a couple weeks, so that'll be
fun.
That's
right.
So you do a little Sasquatch hunting.
Yes.
And I know we're out of deer hunting season, but I still think we should wear orange.
Yeah, I think we should too. Sorry.
Yeah, that's good. So, just in case... We're a few days out of it, but I don't trust anybody.
No, I think it's good. It's good to have the fluorescent orange on.
I'm going to wear my orange. I'm going to have to go get one because I don't have one. Orange hat, orange something over me.
Exactly.
January 1st, you can shoot black powder out there.
You can shoot what?
Black powder.
You can shoot black powder is what Tim is saying, if until January 1st.
Yeah.
What does that have to do that's different? I don't get what
it's a gun.
It's a gun.
It's a different kind of gun.
Wear orange.
Yeah. Wear orange.
Yeah, we'll wear orange. But it's not like all the crazies that are out there right now.
But there's still people because
it's a gun.
So they want to shoot and they'll use that instead.
It's a caliber bullet.
Right, it's a musket kind of
It's
bullet.
A musket. We'll be okay.
I'm going to wear an orange.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear orange
too.
I'm going to wear an orange jumpsuit. I'm going to look like I just got out of jail.
And you know, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure they really, because we're going to be up there during the daylight hours, because we're going to go and come on the same day, because we don't want to have to.
I'm still wearing an orange jumpsuit.
Well, yeah, me too. But I'm just saying that normally I think they go deer hunting early in the morning or late at night, kind of like paranormal investigating, which is, you know, in the summertime is when we'd go squatching too, is go in the middle of the night too. But this time it's just going to be a daytime kind of thing. So
we're going to get the lay of the land.
We are.
In my orange
jumpsuit. And there's a place that I discovered last time we were up there and we just didn't have time to go back there, but we're going to go back there for sure.
I'm game.
Yeah.
Orange jumpsuit.
We'll have to find it, right?
I'm going to order it on Amazon. I'll get a Prime delivery in 2 days.
Yeah, get that fluorescent orangey. And maybe we should have they say you can do the hot pinks too with the camouflage kind of thing going on.
Anything that just doesn't make me look like a deer.
Orange. I know, right? We just have to be bright. We just have to be bright.
I don't want to look like a deer. Yeah. So I'm going to wear my bright red lipstick and my orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, sounds good.
Oh, good. So, anyway, enough of that nonsense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got some cool stuff coming up. And, you know, what I would love to do at some point is do a show out in the woods.
We should do that. Let's do that.
I know, right?
Because I think we should go out, like, in February. February is a really good time to go squatching because we were out last year. And it was just great because you can see, like you always said, we should go in the winter because you can see the footprints and... you know, there's no bugs, there's no this, there's no that. It's right. perfect, actually.
And there's no
it's
leaves chilly. And foliage to yep. get in the way. Yep. You know, you can have a
you can see clear shot
farther distance.
Yes, it's a very fun time to be out there. So maybe we can do a little radio show on a Saturday. Sarge, can we do that?
You don't have to answer.
You know, just maybe an hour or something. That would be really fun.
Or we could just record
woods.
It.
Or we could do that
pre-record
too.
It.
But it'd be fun to have a live, though.
It would be fun to have live. In a live studio audience. Everybody can follow us in the woods.
Oh, yeah. Because then Sasquatch will really come. Oh, come on now.
You just need those hand and foot warmers that you, like, you pop the thing.
Yeah.
And you put them in your mittens.
They really do work. Mm-hmm. We had and them then, up at No Penning last
yeah.
year. Yeah,
no,
they really do keep the totally hands warm. Yeah. But
we'll see. I think
or maybe we could do, you know what? Maybe we could do this. Maybe we could even have a Sasquatch chat up at the Big Winnie up there in Bena. Oh, Sherry would love that.
Yeah, we could do that.
That would be really fun. And then we could have it on the radio.
Yep. We got all sorts of ideas.
I know. Got to get at them.
So anyway, well, speaking of ideas, we are at the House of Balls in Minneapolis.
Yes.
And this place is inspiration
mm-hmm.
at its finest.
It's amazing.
Really cool. And a lot of the sculptures here light up
yes.
or have some kind of moving parts or mm-hmm. were part of something that was moving at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would love to do is we'll play a little musical chairs here maybe. Unless,
yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, I want to make sure that we can hear Alan. And
let's put Alan over here because he has a softer voice than me. So
because Stephanie's loud.
Yes, I am.
And
not obnoxious.
Not obnoxiously loud, just louder than Alan. So anyway, thank you, Alan, for having
thank
us
you.
Here.
Glad
and,
you're here.
Yeah, this is good, really awesome space. And I'd love if you could share your story of just how you got into this, how long have you been doing this, when did you start, what inspires you, you know, whatever you'd like to talk about, we'd love to hear it.
Well, I started sculpting in the early 80s. I got a public studio in 86. Maybe 2 years later, I discovered bowling balls, and it was a decision between calling it Balls to the Walls or House of Balls. And
both
House
are
of balls
excellent
was,
choices.
Well, you know, a little more subtlety
right
and right, there is.
Yeah.
I've got them. And it was, again, a public space. So it was really about having a dialogue with the public about what creativity is. My kind of ethics is really around waste, around repurposing, around reusing the detritus of that surrounds us. So a lot of it is, again, I prefer older objects because they were form and function were built into it. And it's about having people walk into the studio. If I'm here, the door is unlocked, and anyone is welcome.
So. Yep, and you've said that before. If you're here, it's open.
It mm-hmm. is.
Fantastic. So you started using sculpting with pieces that had some kind of purpose at some point. Where did you find your material?
Again, we're surrounded by, I'm sure we could walk to a dumpster right now, anywhere in this neighborhood, and find something that could be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much to be kind of inspired
mm-hmm.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of interested in this comment that Tim had said about energy. We were talking about the studio here and kind of some of the readings he was getting on the equipment. And I'm a firm believer in animism, which really is about kind of imbuing energy in whatever you touch.
Mm-hmm.
So all these experiences that we are, you know, from a designer of an object to the manufacturer to the end user, we are all giving that object our own energy fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's true of this space. It's got a long history. It was built in 1931 as a gas station. It's mm-hmm. had a number of incarnations.
Anything just curious of besides the gas station? I mean, that... It, obviously, yeah. you can tell by the way it's set up, but anything after that that was maybe a little difference, or has it always been a gas station?
No, it was for probably two or three decades, it was a warehouse for an electrical contractor.
Oh, okay.
They had offices here. When the owner passed away, the daughter had taken control of the space. The last incarnation was a totally underground punk rock venue.
Oh, wow. Medusa. Cool.
So there was a lot of there's a lot of energy still from that space. There were a lot of inverted pentagrams, a lot of weird stuff in here just
from
that kind of energy. So
very cool. And so that's when you picked it up, is after that.
Right.
Okay. Wow.
Exactly. So a lot of that was still, you know, I've covered it, done, you know, kind of cleansings with sage, and have had a couple people in to kind of clear the space.
Mm-hmm.
And
good idea.
And then I bring my own energy to it.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of energy here for sure.
Yeah. I mean, our meters are running pretty high.
Yeah.
We brought in some pieces of equipment. We have some L meters. We have some K2 meters. We have our voice recorder, so we'll review that after today.
Mm-hmm.
But all of our meters have been running pretty high consistently in here, which is unusual.
Yeah.
So it, you know, but it's hard to tell. Is it because there's a lot of electricity here to run a lot of the lighting and the pieces of equipment? Or is it, like you said, from the actual pieces of metal that you're bringing in, you know, from the history of those pieces, like you're talking about, people used it in a car or in a piece of equipment or, you know, some industrial whatever, and is the energy coming from that too? So I would expect it's, you know,
I would like to believe it's more from that. You know, the lighting I have is more about accent.
Mm-hmm.
It's about kind of highlighting specific spaces, almost all LEDs, so it's not. So in terms of energy consumption and fields, it's very low.
Which I would agree, because of how consistent the meters are, no matter where we are, it should go up or down if we get close to like an outlet or some kind of source, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so it feels like it's just everything in here is holding some kind of energy. You know, the pieces, the metal that you bring in, the sculptures, they're holding their own energy, which is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. It's fascinating. And you said that there was a house here prior to the gas station.
Right, my wife has done some research on the land, which kind of was parceled back in the mid-1800s.
Wow.
Maybe even as early as 1830-something.
Oh.
And there was a, you know, I've seen a map of that there was a house here from a man that was, she again had done research, found an article in the Minneapolis newspaper from, I think, 1870 something, where this man was described as a veteran of the Napoleonic Wars. He was like the oldest person in Minneapolis at the time, a cooper. This was there was a lot of breweries in this area. There was a lot of coopers also building barrels for the wheat, you know, the milling district.
Yeah, because that's right here.
Which is right here.
Right over there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of activity that way.
And we've, I don't know if you have, Steph, but I've done some investigating in some of the old mills, and there's a lot of energy there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like the same kind of energy.
Oh,
it's just that, you know, settler energy as people are coming into Minnesota and really building up the city and, you know, the milling district and the river. And, it's very intense.
Yes.
And the Native American energy.
Right.
The,
I mean, that predates the European, very, very sacred spaces for the native.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine all of those energies over time are just coming together.
Yes.
And they just keep layering on top of one another and creating this new energy that we're in today. And then, like you said, you bring in your energy to the space and your creations bring their own energy. You know, once you create something, how does it feel to you when you're, your piece is complete? Does it shift for you? Does it have its own energy then?
Yeah, I mean, obviously bringing something into the world, something physical out of these again, these objects that have had previous lives changes the whole field mm-hmm. around the space.
Right, and I would imagine that maybe it's like giving birth to something where, you know, it's a new life. Mm-hmm. And so that has its own personality, its own energy.
Right, exactly.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm.
It is very awesome.
So I'm wondering, we're at 8:26, I wonder if we should take a break now and so that we don't, okay. when we get into another conversation here, because I'd love to find out what you're working on, what you have coming up, you mm-hmm. know, some of your future endeavors. So we could take a break now and come back after our break so that we have the rest of the time without interruption.
That would be great.
Let's do it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers, all of this and more, Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
What are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para-X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para-X.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. We are here at the House of Balls in Minneapolis with Alan Christian, and we are looking at some amazing art here. And we're talking about the energy that the pieces of the sculptures that Alan puts together bring to the piece and to the space and the history of the space and how this all comes together to create some really interesting energy that we have brought in some paranormal equipment to measure tonight. And really, like we were talking about, Steph, it's been pretty mm-hmm. consistent with...
Well, this K2 meter has really been kind of going off on this third one, so I don't know if that means that he's here.
Okay.
Interesting. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, make sure
kind
you're talking.
Kind of talking in my arm.
Yeah, make sure we can hear you.
Yeah.
Because we got... We're all spooning here.
Yeah, we are.
But yeah, I've been getting some pretty consistent mm-hmm. readings on the K2 meter, mm-hmm. And the Mel meters have been ranging anywhere from a 0.5 to a, you know, 2 point, you know, whatever, we're in the middle of the room when we're getting these readings.
Yes.
I mean, Tim, you've been getting some readings too that are pretty high.
Yeah, they're about waist high, and that's where they're at.
And where he's holding the Mel meter or the K2, as you get closer to where you think would be an electrical outlet or an mm-hmm. energy source, the reading, it goes down.
Yeah.
And so it's something is creating energy here that isn't an electrical source. It's not a logical source. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think it's interesting, you know, that we're just finding so much energy here. And I've been here, probably this is maybe my fourth visit here. I've been here for a couple other events, and I just knew when Tim and I have come here before, we just felt the energy when we came in, and it's been good. So considering what has been here in the recent past, and I think you've done a good job of clearing, you know, maybe some of
that old
energy out.
Yeah, but I don't feel anything negative anymore.
No, I don't either. No. It feels really good.
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah. Just a lot of it, like a lot of it.
So the clearing and then you bringing your energy into the space, I'm sure is what that combination is really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this space, and I just, you know, when I was thinking of places to, you know, highlight around the Twin Cities mm-hmm. and bring awareness and, you know, bring people in, I thought, oh, this would be a cool place.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
If you were willing to go for it, Alan, and you did, so thank you.
Always willing to go for it.
So, and you had a location before this, and I was actually at that location too, not far from here in Minneapolis.
About a mile and a half more, right in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
The last space for 20 years, and then I had a space before that for 8 years in what was called the Berman Buckskin Building.
Oh, I used to go in there.
Yeah, I know that.
When I was a kid.
Down on First Avenue?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. My dad actually, we would go in, and because he did leather work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go in, and he would take me in, and we'd shop for mm-hmm. leather pieces and
scrap
and tools leather work. So yeah, I loved the smell.
Yeah,
in there,
right?
The smell of that building.
I know, nothing like tanned leather.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was amazing. And that is a cool building.
Yeah,
that's a good building.
It was. The Federal Reserve wanted that site, and they
took
got
it.
What they wanted.
Yep, yeah, and that's the way it goes. And there you go. So in any of your other spaces, you know, have you had any interesting energies or anything similar or different to what you've had here or mm-hmm. felt here?
Probably the last space where you were at was a space that I felt, felt things in different parts of the building, not so much in my space specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was, you know, there were things that had happened in that building that people, you know, stories of, I mean, even while I was there, there were tragedy had happened. So,
do you have any details?
There was a theater group there that somebody. This is one incident. There was a theater group there where somebody had gotten into the elevator, and they, for some reason, they climbed up out of the elevator and fell down the shaft. So,
oh my goodness!
Oh.
Is that while you were in the space? Or is that
while I was
you...
in that building, right?
Oh, really? So
it's recent.
Right.
Oh, my. And they didn't make it?
Nope. They passed. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
what
not
a way
good.
To go.
What would you be doing that for?
I don't know.
I wonder if you had to just be out of your mind to do something like that. Or you monkeying around and think you're going to make it.
Right.
Trying
right.
to do some kind of Mission Impossible thing and then a massive fail.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. That's horrible. Anything else that you heard about or were there for?
Well, I remember personally kind of finding spaces that were below, you know, nobody. There were interconnecting tunnels between many of the downtown spaces there. And they had all been blocked off. But there was one under the building that there was a quarter inch steel plate that I pulled up and kind of went into a different.
Oh, awesome. I want to do that.
I was going to say, you and Tim might want to hang out sometime.
Yeah.
Tim would do that.
And there was something going on down there. I mean, just I felt afraid to tell you the truth.
Really?
And just there was some bad energy down there.
I'd love to get in there.
I know, me too.
And I'm not afraid to go into those spaces, but mm-hmm. you get in, and sometimes there's just
something there.
You know, something is not right.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what's down there, or what happened, or what's lurking now. That
right.
You know, because certain things like tragedies, like you mentioned with the elevator, or things before when the tunnels were active, and who knows what was going on then, can draw in more energy just from the tragedy that happened, or maybe low vibration activity. You
mm-hmm.
know, if it was bootlegging or gang, you know,
related. There was a lot
back
of
in the day,
gangsters,
right.
You know, things like that. I mean, that activity is
probably
low vibration.
Find some skeletons down there, right?
Maybe.
I mean, you never know.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. We'll have to see if we can get in there somehow.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun? Well, because they connect, like, all the buildings.
The building's still there.
And then they come back to the river.
And I know where the Palladium is.
Well.
Oh. Okay.
On location. No.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
We'll do it.
I don't know if you could really broadcast from down in there.
No, we'll do it. We'll record and then we'll play it. We'll play it some other time.
Wouldn't that be wild?
We'll do a Black Ops. Now we're going from wearing all orange to all black. And sneaking around with, you know, headlamps and flashlights and voice recorders to record our show.
Oh, gosh, that would be exciting.
And a crowbar, apparently, because we have to get under the metal plates.
But then we'd be urban explorers and not paranormal investigators.
Well, yeah. There's a
thin line.
It's a fine line between
that. Do you think they'd give us permission to do that?
Wouldn't hurt to ask. I still know. I mean, I was there for 20 years, so.
That would be interesting.
I know them.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I think we should do that.
We should talk after the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
Anyway, or if you think it's better to ask for forgiveness instead of permission, I mean, you know.
I'm a firm believer in that strategy.
I don't mind it some days.
Do it. Beg for forgiveness.
Yeah, and it, maybe we don't
even
have to.
You generally don't have to beg.
No, usually just say, oops, sorry.
Sorry.
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know. What the heck?
Look at me. I'm innocent.
Look at us. Whoops.
Well, you know, we can put on our innocent faces.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see what's down there. Bring some of our gear down there and see.
It would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I would like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll have to think about that. We're planning our future shows here at the House of Balls.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I like it.
So, I would love to hear just some of what you're working on, Alan, what you're, you know, have coming up. I know you've got a huge project out in the parking lot. That's amazing.
It is. It's something actually something I started after the election.
Okay.
And I wanted a big nasty woman. So I started it inside. Yeah. I mean, I don't. You know, obviously, I was a Bernie supporter. So it just the way our president treats women.
Yes.
Is we need a strong woman. Presence in kind of the way this country is being run. So I'd started it then. I worked on it inside off a 10-foot ladder, got up 12 feet, and then it was dangerous, and then there was a ceiling also.
Right.
I needed time, and I needed a scissors lift, and now I have both. I retired from my day job 2 months ago.
Yes, you did. Yay, congratulations.
Thank you. And as an electrician, I'm always interested in energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I fell into that occupation, because there's something about the unseen powering everything that is really attractive to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to be getting back on her. She's already up to about 17 feet. And we'll see how long the weather holds.
That's right. Yeah. No, she's an amazing a presence out there. And I've been following it on Facebook, and so I think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what about, future projects or events, you know, anything here that you want to talk about or that you're going somewhere? I know you've had some of your art shown outside of Minnesota.
Right. In terms of the space, if anyone is looking for a really unique venue, we do host events here. We've had our first wedding here last month.
I bet that was fun.
My dentist is coming here for her Christmas party in a couple of weeks. So
very cool.
Had book readings, had music here.
The wedding, was that cool?
It was great.
That sounds great.
Yeah. They had met here the year before.
Oh,
and they wanted to get married here.
So they met here at one of your events.
At an Atlas Obscura event.
Oh, very cool. Oh.
So.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it was perfect.
That's fantastic.
It didn't rain. It was hot and humid. Oh. But, you know, considering it was September 23rd.
Oh, yeah. You didn't think that was going to hit.
No.
I remember that weekend we were camping.
Right.
That was horrible.
But the rain held off.
Good.
Which was the good part.
Perfect.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, that's fun. So, yeah, you can rent the space for an event.
Yep.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a variety of events have already been here or coming.
No, they've been here. They're coming. Obviously, the Super Bowl is coming. So,
oh my gosh,
that's going to be dynamic. I'm right across the freeway from the new stadium.
Yep.
They just are finishing up a pedestrian bicycle path right from the House of Ball to the House of Balls.
That is true.
I got more than them. They only got one.
You've got plenty. They just have the one. Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting. Do you think it'll draw a lot of visitors over here then, just to come over see?
You know, from what I know about the Super Bowl, it's a 10-day lead up before the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the international press that comes through is obviously always looking for something unusual, and through that. Obviously, I'm going to get some press, but it would be, you know, my dream is to have a party with George Clooney. So, George, if you're out there.
Yeah, come on up.
Okay.
Damn it, get over here.
What is it, 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah.
Someone that we're talking to right now on the radio knows someone that knows George Clooney.
That's right.
And this is Alan's dream, is to have George Clooney here at the House of Balls.
Yes.
Let's get on this, people.
Yeah,
Let's
get
it.
On it.
And he would love it. So.
Yes.
I'm sure he would.
That would be awesome.
So you might get some traffic from the Super Bowl, which would be fantastic. Do you sell your art?
I do.
How does someone go about purchasing art? I mean,
well, in the studio, I've never liked the idea of putting price tags here. But if they're interested, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the studio is all about experience.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to walk in, and I want you to wonder and question and be amazed on some level and leave thinking about the world in a different way.
Mm-hmm. It does that.
It does.
I will tell you.
Yes.
It's cool. I've always left here or the old space and just felt a little bit more like inspired or just open to possibilities or, you know, just it's so neat to see how someone else, you know, operates, I guess, and how you put stuff together, and it's just fascinating. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to talk about at some point getting one of your little creepy doll heads on something, and I'll buy it for my studio.
Yeah.
My Halloween open house, it would fit perfect. One of those creepy little chopped up something. Yeah. That would be
for
perfect.
Sure. So, think about that. You know,
I will.
Well, once you're done with your big sculpture and you have other time. But yeah, that would be cool. Have a little something in my. I don't have a huge space. I wouldn't fit her. She wouldn't fit.
No.
She would not fit.
She won't even fit in here.
No.
I'm glad I have the space outside.
Yeah. And you've really filled it. I mean, there's some cool stuff out there, too.
It's, you know, it's a work in progress. It's, as you remember, the old space was almost suffocating.
It was tight.
In a sense that it was, there was so many things. So when I left there, for me, it was about really trying to rid myself of all the old ideas that had manifested, and not carrying all this extra luggage, this extra baggage with me. So it's nice to have a more emptied space here. But it's, you know, my problem is I'm fairly, you know, productive. And now being retired is just going to get worse. So
yeah.
Well, and worse in a good way.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're doing something you love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We had a chat, someone in the chat room saying, the creepy doll challenge accepted. And I said, I should put a creepy doll challenge out there.
Oh, Heidi has some creepy dolls, let me tell you.
And they're not the pieces and parts like you have here. I mean, except for the doll head that someone I know found out in the yard. It had been out there like 30 years. The gal, when she was a kid, put it out there wondering what happens to a doll when you leave it outside over winter. And then they forgot about it. And it started to, like, the plastic started to rot. And, like, the face got chewed up. And then all the hair got picked out by a animal or something to make a nest and whatever. So it's really disturbing. And so I put a little tea light in there and lit it up. And it was fantastic. And I know that one you would appreciate. It's, like, right up your alley.
Oh, yeah.
Except it's not hardwired. It's just the tea light. But anyway, I try and put some. I like the stuff that, you know, we talk about energy, and yours is created from pieces that have energy. And I find, like, out in antique stores or wherever, these dolls, and some of them look fine, but when you hold them, they really have a lot of energy, and they'll tell you their story. If you hold them long enough, they start to show you pictures of where they came from, or, you know, who the owner was, or where they lived, or what they witnessed. And it's fascinating. I mean, it's really interesting. So I put a little story up with a lot of them so people can read, because I know that not everybody can pick up a doll and get the story I can, or like Tim can.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll type it up so people can read it while they're at the open house. You can see, like, hey, this doll came from. And some of them are kind of nasty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're still connected to their owner, and they're causing trouble.
Oh, you betcha.
I didn't tell this story. I had the twins. These two dolls that are twins. Yeah. I found them in an antique.
Tim knows the story.
Tim knows the story. These twins are terrible, and they were separated on purpose. And I put them back together, which I didn't realize was a bad idea, until I got them together, and I thought, oh, this is not good. Because what they do, if you hold them together at the same time, they'll put a curse on you. And I don't know who set that up or what was the intention. So I brought them to the studio to put them out at the Halloween open house, but I put them in separate containers, mm-hmm. so you can't hold them, and mm-hmm. they're not together. And one of them got away. I couldn't find it for 2 days. And I was yelling at her sister. I'm like, you get her back, or I'm coming for you. And then I found her in my car.
That's bizarre. Wow. That's really bizarre.
She was in my car. And I thought, you're trying to, what are you gonna do? You know, get back here. I brought her into the studio. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, those dolls are creepy, Heidi.
They are. They're disturbing. Yeah. And one of them was across the room one day when I came in. She was on the floor all the way across the room. I thought, well, all right, we'll tie you down, too, then. So I only put them out at the open house, though, because they cause too much trouble otherwise. But, yeah, there's a lot of energy in them, though. That's mm-hmm. the thing, is that they have so much energy. Just like so many things that we don't even think about until we really, you know, start to pay attention or quiet. You know, I think that that's something that we miss a lot is being quiet.
Yes. Right.
You know, and just letting.
Quiet enough to hear.
Yeah. And it's amazing what would speak to us if we just listen and are still. But we're so hurry, 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 go with everything.
We always have a phone in our hand, right?
Yeah.
Somebody might be trying to get a hold of us.
Well, if something's not feeding us information, we have to put it in front of us to feed us information because we get so... So I love to not have my phone with me. And, you know, it's funny. I think I've talked about this. I turned I silenced my phone like 3 years ago, and I haven't turned it on since.
Oh,
and it's
really?
Been fabulous. Oh, no. I have no alerts, no nothing. No ringtone, no nothing. No vibrate.
Oh.
No. I don't miss anything. I mean, it'll find me if it needs me.
That's true.
But I am so much clearer without this constant binging in the background. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's... And I get that I...
I hope my phone doesn't go off right now.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
If it's going to go off, it's going to go off while we're talking about it. But anyway, yeah, I just, it's interesting what speaks to us when we are quiet and what we pay attention to, if it's a space, like your space here, or your sculptures, or a creepy doll that you find in an antique store, or, you know, pieces of junk that you find in a dumpster, you know, and it's, it probably, does it start speaking to you when you find it?
Absolutely.
Does it? Does it start telling you?
Take me home.
What it would, does it start talking about what it wants to be, or how does that process work?
Well, it kind of lets me know that it wants to be put into something.
Okay, so it wants to come home first.
Right.
Okay.
It doesn't tell me generally what it wants to be.
Okay.
So for me, that's kind of shutting my mind off and letting, just being able to see it. You know, in some sense, it's about listening first, but then it's about keep opening your eyes up to see where it belongs.
So do you just... intuitively start putting pieces together and it starts to take form?
That's exactly what I did.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. It is.
Because if you think about that and then you look at these different pieces, it's like, that's really amazing because it's, and they're everything's so different.
Yeah.
You know,
you would never think to put these pieces together.
We have a question from our studio audience.
Yes.
Why do you gravitate towards making faces?
So let me make sure. The question was, why do you gravitate towards making faces?
I think really because it's about connecting to you. So for me, the human form is really what I see when I look in the mirror, but it's also what I see when I look at you. So that's the bridge I'm trying to kind of gap, is the human, the kind of universal language. I think I would find it in other mediums, but really it's you I'm trying to talk to. So, you know, I've done some animals. You know, landscape is really, for me, like a personal, you know, for one, it's easier in paint, not in sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
But the human, just the connection, it is me, it is you, it is us. That's what I'm drawn to.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how these pieces that had nothing to do with human form, most of them probably didn't, are they take this human form and it just has this flow to it,
mm-hmm.
which then putting something into a human form, also I wonder if it creates some kind of energy that we can connect to, you know,
yes.
in a different way instead of it being just an abstract shape.
Yeah.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And that's why I'm really drawn to older objects, because I really think the people that designed them, created them, built them, were actually mirroring themselves in some ways. I think today's objects are too, they've detached themselves so much from the humanity that they're cold, they're plastic. They're they're
disposable.
Just,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't made to last a lifetime and beyond. They're made to last 30 yeah. days, a year. They're built in, born on dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you look at, you know, I'm looking at some of these sculptures that you have, and the pieces that you used are in no way deteriorating. And they're how old? And they're solid.
Yeah.
You know, these were not intended, you know, it just stopped getting used, or
it
was outdated, so then something new came in, and or whatever. There wasn't maybe anything wrong with it. It's just outdated, and but it's solid metal. This stuff is not going anywhere for a very long time.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And I'm guessing that a lot of your pieces are really heavy.
They can be.
Some of them are huge, and they're metal. And
I tried to cull the herd, so to speak, when I moved in the old studio. Or I obviously the heavy ones I put in places where I don't have to move them any again.
Right. That's smart, because some of these are massive.
Big. Yes.
I know, right? You were sitting in that chair in the other room
with
the hands that are coming out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I thought, were going to transport somewhere.
I know,
there.
Right?
You got a little bit, you started to kind of spin a little bit.
I know, right?
Energetically spin,
I
should say.
I know. It was crazy.
Yeah, that was cool. I should get a picture of you sitting in that next time. Oh, we'll go over there.
Yeah.
Because that was, you could tell you were getting kind of woozy sitting in that.
It's kind of a weird thing. Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing for sure.
If it wraps its arms around you,
then we know
get the hell out.
Issue.
Then we're in trouble. We're running steps like, help.
Get this thing off of me.
Help me. We're all outside.
Yeah.
We're gone.
Here I am. Stuck.
And you're trapped in this sculpture.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, and seriously, anybody that's here in the Minneapolis area, or if you're coming here for the Super Bowl, you know, take a walk.
Or any other reason.
Or any other reason. You're coming in town for business or fun or whatever. Walk on over or take the
light rail.
Light rail.
It abuts the Cedar Riverside LRT stop. So.
Yep.
It is, when I was setting up the station here for our radio show, I knew that the light rail was right out there, and then I saw it coming, and it looks like it's going to hit the building.
I know.
It's that close.
I've been watching. It grabs my attention.
It's so cool.
That's for sure.
And you're watching out this big garage door, this windowed garage door, which is huge, and it's coming right at us.
Yes,
and I'm
it
like,
is. It's coming. It's coming.
It has to be within feet of the back of this building because
of
how close it looks. That's so cool.
It is.
I think it's an interesting extra. Energy force.
That's what I was just going to say. It brings even more energy here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you've got this light, electric light rail, this energy, and this line of people constantly going past.
All of their stuff going on and coming in. And
And then the people coming off. And so anyway, if you can get here at any point in time, do it. It's cool. It's just really interesting.
Yeah. It's actually kind of like really close to the Mixed Blood Theater too, because that's just right down the road, right?
Just
a few blocks.
Have you been there?
I have not, but you see it from 35W, right? Yeah, so if you can find
down the street.
If you can find the Mixed Blood Theater, we're just
continue down 15. Yep. And you're right.
And then you'll see the big polar bear. Across the tracks. And that's it.
Man, look for the. I told Steph when she, because I got here first, I said, the polar bear is in the parking lot. So you know you're in the right spot. That's it.
Yep.
Look for the big polar bear.
Yep.
And she found it.
Yep.
And then here we are.
And I looked underneath it.
And she was walking around out there.
Yeah.
Did the viewing audience have any trouble getting here?
I was just afraid I was going to get hit by the light rail.
Oh! Don't get hit by the light rail. Wait, stop for the light rail.
The drop arms, yeah.
Here,
yeah.
And I was like, can I drive across it? Can I not?
Oh, yeah. Usually they'll come down if there's a road. They'll make sure that people can't drive on it when it's coming. But, yeah, it's an interesting location. And you're, like, right downtown. It's so cool.
Yes.
So, but if you're looking for an interesting venue to host an event.
This is it.
This is it. This is cool. Mm-hmm. And I've been here for 2 events so far. And then another something, I think. But it was fun.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
It's so unique.
Yeah. And there's always something to talk about. So if you're coming and you don't know anybody, it doesn't matter.
That's okay.
You can just talk about the art and the cool space, and it's perfect.
Or sit in that chair with the arms.
Absolutely. And just take a little energetic joyride on that thing.
That's right.
Because it does kind of spin you a little bit. So, we're getting to the end of the hour. It flew by as it always does. Yeah. And I just want to say thank you to Alan.
Thank you.
For
pleasure
hosting.
To have you.
Awesome. Thank you
really
so much.
Cool. Yeah. It was really fun. And thank you to the folks that joined us tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. And again, for what we have coming up for our future shows, we've got a couple of shows coming up where we do have a seance coming up. So
that's right.
You'll have to go to thegatheringradio.com to check out our schedule, because we'll have everything on our website. And, you know, at some point, maybe a Black Ops Underground Minneapolis tunnel investigation. You know, we'll have to make an appearance. I don't know. I'm just saying. We'll have to figure that out. So, but, you know, it's been interesting. And this is, my chair just got moved. I'm sitting here and it got pushed forward. So, I mean, someone's saying,
here.
Yep, you're leaving soon.
I look, my paperweighter is going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, and it's funny because while we've been sitting here talking, and I don't know, Tim, if you've seen it, I've seen a figure go back and forth here.
I've seen one go right over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of apparitions here, and I'm literally sitting on my chair doing I have not moved, really. You guys have seen me.
Yeah.
And my chair got shoved forward under me about an inch. I thought I was going to fall off because I'm like, what's happening? So apparently someone's saying it's time to go.
Yeah.
So
you guys go now. We're done with you.
We're done with you. We want to get back to our good, you know, energy without the interruptions. Anyway, stay tuned to a couple of our shows coming up. We have some interesting things that we're going to do, and maybe we'll be back here at the House of Balls and do another show sometime.
Yeah.
Maybe
in the
summer when it's warmer.
When it's warm. We
can open the doors and have a little social gathering maybe beforehand or do something
fun.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Get people down here to check this place out, because it is cool. It is really cool. So
it is awesome.
I also want to thank Para X for hosting us.
Absolutely.
And
Sarge,
the best producer ever, Sarge.
Thank you, Sarge.
Thank you, Sarge.
He puts up with us week after week.
Week after week, and he does it with a smile,
he
I think.
He does.
Because we can't see him. But
that's
I'm sure he's smiling every time.
I'm sure he is, too.
And so we will wrap it up, but thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. And again, if you have any questions or have any topics that you want us to cover, please go to our website and send us a contact form, or go to our Facebook page and send us a message. You can also contact Stephanie through your website.
Oh, yes.
You have one.
SIMinnesota.com.
Yes.
Yes.
Stephanie has a website.
Me too. It's just going crazy.
I know it is.
Yeah.
So SIMinnesota.
Gathering Radio.
Gathering Radio. And you can also contact me through MySphereExperience.com.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they must know that the show is ending, because it's getting a little bit wild in here.
Look, it is. The meters are kind of going off the walls.
It is. So we'll wrap it up. But thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.